As strange as some of the recent developments in terms of religion and government in our nation have been to watch, I know that things must seem even stranger still from overseas. Interfaith Alliance President Rabbi Jack Moline was in Israel during the past few weeks and joins us now on State of Belief Radio. Jack, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Welton. Glad to be talking with you.
You were traveling with an interfaith group, as I understand it. So how did, for example, the Rose Garden event attacking the Johnson Amendment resonate with you and your group?
It's interesting. Well, when we were in Israel, a lot of people went with the intention of leaving behind all the news of the United States and immersing themselves in the experience. But once again, the President of the United States has managed to do something that struck everybody as so completely outrageous that they were, you'll pardon the expression, all at Twitter. Mm-hmm. We had Jews and Christians and Roman Catholics. We had Republicans and Democrats who were part of this trip. And everybody was shocked.
Mm-hmm. So dealing with the Johnson Amendment, how was it seen by people who live in Israel?
You know, it was very interesting to me that without solicitation, lots of different people, ranging from government officials to heads of nonprofits, from the liberal end of Israeli society to the very conservative end of Israeli society, volunteered that they had an admiration for the separation of government and religion in the United States. It is something that does not exist in Israel, or for that matter, in any country in the Middle East. There is, if not an official state religion, at least an intertwining of religious affairs and government affairs in Israel and among all of her neighbors. And yet it was considered to be one of the hallmarks of the United States that we've managed to avoid that crisis.
What's the overall view of American politics now, particularly in terms of approaches toward religion?
It's hard to say overall when you talk about Israel. If in the United States we have this sort of saying that you have two Jews, you have three opinions, in a country of that many Israelis, Jewish and non-Jewish, you have exponentially more opinions. But all in all, there is, I think, an alarm about the unknown quantities that are part of the American administration. It is not the case that there is a universal suspicion of President Trump, or that there is a universal embrace of President Trump, or even that there's a majority opinion about whether his administration represents a positive or a negative comparison to the previous administration. But like so many of us, there's such an uncertainty about what's coming next out of this administration that people are a little nervous. That's especially the case because while we were there, it was announced that he'd be visiting Israel later this month for a very short period of time. And in that short period of time, it's not clear exactly what he will do and whether he will follow the pattern that most heads of state follow when they visit Israel, which is to acknowledge the various influences on Israeli society through his itinerary.
You've been very vocal in terms of sounding the alarm over this administration's approach to religious freedom.
Our primary focus, Welton, as was yours during your tenure here, was the protection of the Johnson Amendment. That very small little law in the IRS code that is difficult even for people who are looking for it to find and define is the law that prohibits electioneering from the pulpits of America, and not just religious tax-exempt nonprofits, but all tax-exempt nonprofits are prohibited from having any substantive role in the endorsement or opposition of a candidate. And there is a small, small minority of right-wing evangelical extremists who have been seeking to exact payment from the president for their support by having him make noise about eliminating the Johnson Amendment. That is the focus of a lot of our attention right now. It was pointed out to me, in fact, by your producer, Ray Kirstein, that the right wing of the evangelical movement is spending millions of dollars in opposition to the Johnson Amendment, whereas we're spending tens of dollars in advertising and raising consciousness, which is why the voice of everybody listening to this program and all their friends is necessary to protect the government from the intrusion of religious posturing and to prevent the intrusion of campaign funds into the tax-exempt institutions that tend to America's soul and well-being.
Do you have the sense that the people who are hearing the warnings that you're sounding are understanding what's being said? Are we getting through about how important this amendment is?
It is very confusing. I talked to a friend of mine in the pulpit just yesterday, who himself has been very diligent about making the distinction that we have helped to define for American clergy about talking about issues from an advocacy point of view and from the values of the religious tradition, and in talking about candidates, which is prohibited. The former, of course, is the obligation of the prophetic voice. The latter is prohibited by American law. And he called me to find out if that had changed as a result of the president's executive order and proclamation. I assured him it had not, and that we needed to be all the more diligent in advancing this notion that the law is a good thing, no matter what the president says about enforcement, and that he should not give in to the temptation to take advantage of this declaration that the IRS was no longer going to enforce the Johnson Amendment. It is still the law of the land, and it's still the obligation of every pastor, rabbi, imam, clergy to observe this law.
What actions can come from increased awareness that would make a concrete difference in relation to this whole discussion?
Well, first of all, everybody has to be in touch with every one of their legislators, their members of Congress, their senators, even their local legislators, to make sure that they are informed and educated about the importance of the Johnson Amendment. It doesn't have to be a long call, and particularly when you call federal legislators, you're just going to be ticked off on a list, but that's fine. To let them know that we as Americans, the overwhelming majority of Americans, in fact, the overwhelming majority of evangelicals, in fact, the overwhelmingly majority of evangelical pastors, we support this separation of government and religion. We support the safety, the sanctity, and the protection of the Johnson Amendment. Our legislators need to know that, because the president cannot reverse this law without an act of Congress. Mm-hmm. And members of Congress need to know that be held accountable if they are willing to accede to the president's attempt to mollify a very small minority on the religious right.
It is so important. I want to underscore this. It is so important that Interfaith Alliance receive adequate support to continue this essential work. And I'm not just talking about the Johnson Amendment now. I'm talking about much more than that. So, Jack, talk for just a second or two about how listeners can get involved and how much you need them to be involved.
Well, thank you, Elton. This is always an important moment when we talk to each other. Of course, we welcome the financial support of people who are listeners and people who are supporters of the organization. In order to make our message heard, we have to be able to keep our doors open and to keep our message flowing. And we've had some great success with this. If your listeners have been watching the print media over the past few days and the broadcast media, they've seen that we've had probably a dozen or more features about our advocacy on behalf of the separation of religion and government. So that kind of contribution is important. Equally important is organizing within your own community. Now, we've got about 14 or 18 affiliates around the country that people can get involved in. But if in your community there is no Interfaith Alliance affiliate, please be in touch with us, and our Cracker Jack staff will help you bring together friends of yours who can amplify the voice of the national office and be a conduit to the national office of what local concerns are. Both of those things are equally important.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, working to protect true religious freedom for all people. More information is available at interfaithalliance.org. Jack, thanks for being with us. I'm glad you're back home. There's plenty to do here, and I'm glad that you're at it. Thank you once again for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
And thank you again, Welton, for welcoming me into your studio.